We're going to start off today's show with our weekly Earth Watch, and we're delighted today that we have with us Ann Peterman, Executive Director of the Global Justice Ecology Project. And of course, we partner with the Global Justice Ecology Project for our weekly Earth Minute, where you hear Ann's voice, and for our weekly Earth Watch. Ann is also the coordinator of the Stop GE Trees campaign, the North American focal point for the Global Forest Coalition, and a member of the board of directors of the Will Miller Social Justice Lecture Series. She's been involved in movements for forest protection and indigenous rights since the early 90s. There's a lot more I could say about Ann, but just to also let you know that she speaks around the world about climate justice and against socially and environmentally destructive false solutions to climate change. And she also speaks on the destructive social, ecological, and impacts of genetically engineered trees and second-generation biofuels made from wood. And she speaks on these subjects at capacity-building trainings for Indigenous peoples at conferences around the world, including the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, the UN Forum on Forests, and the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. But most of her time, she's not at UN Forum, but she is out in the field doing on-the-ground campaigning and activism. Ann Peterman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Margaret. I'm glad to be here again.
Yeah, thank you for all your work over the years with us on our weekly Earth Watch and our weekly Earth Minute. So, Ann, for the segment today, we want to focus on your recent trip to Colombia and tell us about some of what you found there. You were in Brazil, actually. It was Brazil, not Colombia. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you spent some time with or meeting with some people from the Quilombola, the Afro-Brazilian community. Tell us about that.
Sure, yeah. It was a national meeting. I was invited to attend and participate in a national meeting in Brazil, in Porto Alegre, Brazil, which included people from communities and organizations from around Brazil, in particular those impacted by or working against monoculture industrial tree plantations, especially eucalyptus plantations. And during the course of the week of meetings, we heard from a number of people who were Quilombola descendants or, you know, Afro-Brazilian descendants in Quilombola communities who were being particularly impacted by these eucalyptus plantations. But there are also indigenous people who have been impacted and peasants who've been thrown off their lands. It's a very serious issue in the rural, many of the rural states in Brazil. And when we, as we talked about it, it becomes evident that it's not just about timber companies and their tree plantations. It actually goes back to the 60s and 70s during the Brazilian military dictatorship, when the dictators took the land away from the people, took the land away from the Quilombolas and the indigenous people, and gave them to the timber industries specifically to put up these industrial tree plantations. So, you know, it has a really kind of a fascist history, these tree plantations, and that, you know, that history that is continuing today. If you see the impacts going on, they're still extremely serious. And, you know, these plantations are expanding. And now with climate change, there are becoming, ironically, even more demands for these timber plantations.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned what was going on with the military government, the military junta in the 60s and 70s, because with Brazil's new president, who sees himself as being described as to the right of Donald Trump and Donald Trump's buddy, and he made a proposal recently to mark actually the anniversary of the one of these military juntas. I don't recall what day it was, but it just really underscored the fact that what indigenous communities, people of African descent, and just generally working people in Brazil are going to be facing with this new president. I mean, was there any discussion about his election and the impact that it has had on these kinds of issues of industrial forestry, the timber industry, the tree plantations, et cetera? Ann Peterman?
Yeah, certainly people see Bolsonaro as making a bad situation worse. And especially in some of the states like Espírito Santo and Bahia that have had tree plantations for a long time, people are seeing more and more threats to organizers against the tree plantations, not just death threats, but actual assassinations, torture, you know, beatings. And recently, Bolsonaro allowed an increase in the number of arms that people can have in Brazil. There was a limit before. Now people can have up to 4 arms. And he has actually encouraged ranchers in these rural areas to use their arms on, you know, members of the landless workers movement or indigenous people or anyone who might be trying to regain control of their land. And that's a major campaign that's happening. It's not just people being impacted by these plantations, but people taking their land back from the plantations. So actively going into the plantations, cutting them down, and putting back their villages, putting back their communities, or in the case of the MST, establishing new settlements for their communities. And it's very inspiring to see that kind of direct action happening, and very successfully, people are actually gaining ground in these plantation areas. With Bolsonaro, of course, it's going to be dicey to see if people will be able to keep that land. But in the meantime, people are continuing to work in their communities that are established where there used to be plantations.
And of course, MST, the landless movement in Brazil. You know, and our guest is Ann Peterman, who is the executive director of Global Justice Ecology Project. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And Ann Peterman was recently in Brazil, where she met with a number of people, including people from the Afro-Brazilian community, the Quilombolas, on the impact of industrial forestry, timber industry, the industrial tree plantations, etc. And for people to get some sense of the significance, let's say, of the Quilombolas, tell us about that, because this is historic, those communities going way back to the days of people enslaved in Brazil. And by the way, Brazil has the largest population of people of African descent in the Western Hemisphere. One might not know that because the people who are promoted on in ads and the models and social media, etc., are usually not people of African descent, interestingly enough, but not surprising. So tell us a little bit about the Quilombolas and people in those communities.
Well, it's the folks, as you mentioned, these are folks who were originally brought to Brazil as slaves and have won independence. And there are, you know, quite large Quilombola communities in the north of Brazil, especially, but throughout the country. And these are, you know, they're the stories that they told of the resistance against the encroachment of their lands and the struggles that they have undertaken to get their lands back, lands, as we mentioned, stolen under the dictatorship during the 60s and 70s, it's been really incredible. There were a number of really vibrant young women from the Quilombola communities who were speaking at these meetings, and their stories were really breathtaking about, you know, the, bringing their traditions back, maintaining the traditions that they have, and really using the strength of the women, especially in the communities, to have resistance against the companies.
Right. And what are some of the demands that people are making right now around these issues, especially but not only around the industrial tree plantations?
People want their land back. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They want their traditional land back. They want their communities back, and they want title to to the land. So they don't just want, they're happy to take the land themselves, but they ultimately want title to that land. They want legal title so that they are sure that the military or the police are not going to come in at some point, or the company are not going to come in at some point and kick them off or put them in jail or kill them. So, you know, it's a real matter. It's literally a matter of life and death for these communities to get their land back and keep it and have it be titled to them. So that's the real struggle there, is for that title. And I certainly under Bolsonaro, they don't have a whole lot of opportunity for that title. When Lula was president prior to Bolsonaro and prior to the previous president who was impeached, yeah. Dilma
Rousseff.
Dilma Rousseff. People were having some luck with getting their land titles back, and people were in the Quilombola communities and the indigenous communities expanding their land titles. But certainly with Bolsonaro, we are going to see, if anything, a reversal of that. He's threatened to take away people's land titles, which I think is a little bit dubious constitutionally, but he is threatening to do that.
Yeah, and as we could see, that happens in the United States. Whether something is constitutional or not these days doesn't really seem to matter. And Ann Peterman, I was recently in Haiti, and the situation there, that I visited a place where major massacres have been going on. But what you describe about people losing a title to land, about these, because in Haiti, they're using these, the government basically, using these kind of extrajudicial forces trained by the police, or sometimes with members of the police involved in these actual massacres, or at least making the way for the massacres. And it sounds as though something quite similar is happening to those communities in Brazil. You know what I mean? It's like a very similar playbook of people having their land taken from them, but also these extrajudicial killings going on. Basically to intimidate people. And then it gets reported out, as in the situation of Haiti as well, this is just gang warfare. And I don't know what, if in Brazil they even bother to put a face like that on what is happening. But I wondered if you had any comments on that.
Sure. I think in the rural areas, this kind of repression that's going on against communities is largely just not reported at all. So, people just in the cities just don't know what's going on in the rural areas. And that's the way the government likes it. In the case of the MST, the Landless Workers Movement, when they do their massive rallies in support of Lula or in support of land reform, that can't be ignored. And so Bolsonaro is criminalizing that group of people, and those are some of the people that he's calling on the ranchers to go out and kill if they find them on their lands or trying to take their lands back. So yeah, that is definitely happening to some extent in Brazil with the larger movements like the Landless Workers Movement.
Right, and Ann Peterman, in addition to the demands to just get their lands back, what about the concerns on the environment? And of this, the industrial forestry, timber, tree plantations. Was any of that discussed?
Oh, absolutely. And part of the reason for the meeting was to talk not just about the existing industrial timber plantations, the eucalyptus plantations especially, but also the threat of genetically engineered trees being introduced into these plantations. And the issue with that is that the GE tree plantations would actually be even worse than the existing plantations. But the existing plantations already, there are many communities that are nearby these eucalyptus plantations that have no access to water or very little access to water, because the eucalyptus plantations just drain them dry. Any underground water sources or rivers or streams, and literally just drain them completely dry with how much water they use. And they're also very inundated with agrotoxins. So chemical fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides are sprayed heavily on these plantations, which causes, whatever water is left is highly polluted, and these sprays drift onto local communities and contaminate their food and their air, and you know, the animals are harmed by it as well. So yeah, they have serious impacts all on themselves, not to mention the fact that the native forest is being leveled for these plantations. So the Mata Atlantica forest along the coast of Brazil has been really decimated for these eucalyptus plantations. And now in northern Brazil, the Cerrado ecosystem, which is another kind of a scrub forest, is being threatened as these plantations expand further and further toward the Amazon. And all of this is having also an impact on the local climate. So the less forest there is and the more of these plantations there are, the less it rains. And the more that there's droughts, the more impact that has on places like the Amazon. And, you know, the cycle just goes on and on. And it's interesting because it's all connected not just with the demand for pulp and paper, but the demand for charcoal. So Brazil has the largest iron mines in the world. And they, in order to make the pig iron from these iron mines that is then shipped overseas, they need to smelt it. And in the smelters, they use charcoal from the eucalyptus trees to make the smelting. In addition, they need hydroelectric dams to power these mines. So the hydroelectric dams are being placed in places like the Amazon and drowning huge swaths of the Amazon, displacing indigenous people for to power the mines, but also for slurries. They basically make these canals to slurry the iron to the ports where so it can be exported. So it's all interconnected. All of these, you know, terrible environmental problems that Brazil is facing are, connected together, and the plantations are one of the major ones, but not the only ones.
Right. And for people who want to find out more about this, about your visit, and also generally about the work of the Global Justice Ecology Project, what should they do?
People can check out the website at globaljusticeecology.org. That's where we have a lot of information about this. There's also a website specifically on the issue of genetically engineered trees, which is stopgetrees.org. And there's a lot of background information about what's happening in Latin America and around the world.
Well, Ann Peterman, thank you so very much for joining us yet again and for all of your efforts to really raise up the voices of indigenous people and other peoples around the world who are on so-named frontline communities. And your work for so many decades have been so important in all of this. So thank you so very much, Ann Peterman.